You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
The World Boxing Organization celebrates 30 years, folks. Their 30th annual Boxing Congress is going to go down October the 23rd through the 27th. And guess what? We're doing it on the water. That's right. We're leaving Miami, Florida, October 23rd. The WBO convention. I kid you not. All the champs will be there. It'll be a great cruise. We'll have 4 days. We'll come back on Friday, but we're going to Cuba and the Bahamas. And in between, we'll get all the ratings done, all that kind of good stuff, conduct all the good WBO business that we do. Of course, and it's all about clarity when you're talking about the world of professional boxing and sanctioning bodies. It is the WBO. Straight up, the WBO can, you can join me. In fact, I'll be on the cruise. You can join me if you want. Come join me. WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com, and you can arrange to get your tickets there. Now, Zach Attack Young, speaking of the WBO light heavyweight champion Andre Ward in action tonight, still undefeated. Man, that was a fight.
Yeah, that was probably the worst stoppage I've ever seen. What did you think about that?
I'm going to reserve judgment on that. I'm going to leave that with you.
Oh, man. Andre Ward.
Go on.
He did seem to hurt Kovalev with a hook, right? Right hook. He was landing a lot of low blows. He was warned multiple times in the fight, Andre Ward was. He hits Kovalev with a couple low blows, and Kovalev kind of grabs his groin, and the referee steps in and waves it off. I mean, a lot of people are saying it was on the belt line, but even then, it's like Kovalev never went down, and it at least should have been a count if the referee actually thought that those were legal blows.
Okay, now this is referee Tony Weeks, correct?
Yeah, referee Tony Weeks. I don't know. I mean, it seems to be pretty divided from what I've been reading about the reaction to the stoppage. But to me, I thought that that was a bad stoppage, even though Ward may have been able to win that fight. I thought he was winning that round, at least.
You know, the scores were split. One judge, I believe, had Kovalev ahead 68-65. Well, the other two judges had Ward ahead 67-66, I believe. But, you know, how can I put this? Controversy in these two guys. Why can't you? Maybe we just don't need a referee with these two guys. Maybe we should just let them go because they're both dirty fighters. Andre Ward's one of the dirtiest fighters in the game. I love him, everything like that, but Andre knows how to fight professionally, and there's a lot of tricks involved in fighting, dirty tricks involved fighting professionally, and Andre Ward knows them all.
Yeah, I mean, and I definitely thought that he was, you know, he was doing good in this fight, and I thought it was either, it was close to an even fight. I personally thought Kovalev was ahead by probably at that point he would have still been ahead by a round or around there. You know, it was a close fight, though, and a lot of the rounds were close.
Okay, so now with the controversy landing the second time in a row, and I asked you, what a great fight there. I was trying to build you up there, and Zach, you didn't bite on it, but that's cool. you didn't bite on it. But do they have to dance again?
I highly doubt that they will. You know, I kind of think that Ward will. They'll probably just both move on. I mean, Kovalev could have a big money fight in Russia against Artur Beterbiev. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ward will end up fighting Adonis Stevenson finally. Adonis will finally fight like a worthy challenger with that lineal light heavyweight title.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully that can happen.
Question for you. Does the Andre Ward at 168 pounds beat the Andre Ward at 175?
I think so. I think he was a little crisper there. Although I did think tonight he looked more acclimated to the weight. I'll say that, you know. I thought that his punches they had a little more snap on them tonight.
And that's what it's all about, putting snap on those punches, man. And Andre Ward's been able to do that, of course, undefeated in an amateur career here in Northern California. He never lost a fight. The one fight he lost, I wasn't there for that fight. It was at King's Gym. And the old King's Gym in Oakland, California. And Marsha King went to her grave saying that he was robbed. So if you take that fight away, he's never lost a fight in his life. I mean, the controversial fight over Kovalev the first time, maybe. What I'm trying to say is, essentially, the guy's unbeaten for a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's unbeaten. The last two were a little controversial, but he is no doubt he's a great fighter. So
no doubt
I'm not.
That.
I'm not somebody who's going to take all the credit away from him, because he still had to be in those fights for those results to happen.
No doubt about that. The HBO replay will go down, of course, next Saturday on HBO. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the world of mixed martial arts. USC had to go to Singapore, and they brought Holly home with them. They drew 800,000 They drew 800,000 bucks over there as far as a live gate's concerned. That's a pretty good draw as far as American dollars are concerned in Singapore, Zach.
Yeah, it did. And, I mean, hopefully they can sustain that. I know the Singapore crowd was booing a lot, but we did get a nice highlight in the main event.
Okay, now Holly Holm, of course, with that great knockout. She's come back after three losses. Does this put her back in the mix at 135? Because Beth Gray was sort of like a 5-1 underdog. And in the world of mixed martial arts, that might as well have been 500-1 if it's 5-1. Am I correct?
Right. I mean, you know, it was long odds. And I know I told you right after the fight, I think this would be a perfect time for her to hang him up, although I highly doubt that she does.
So, of course, she had the win over Ronda Rousey. Do you think that her and Ronda could rumble again?
I think they could. I think it would be interesting at this point. I still think that Holly Holm would be favored in that fight after how dominant she was in the first fight. But I don't know. I could definitely see them selling that. It would do a pretty big number for the UFC.
Let's be honest. Ronda is done. Stick a fork in her. There's no hype left. There's nothing left there. The balloon has been popped.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that. I don't even know how you could make an argument to the contrary of that.
Okay, so Holly Holm back at 135. She tried the waters at 145 against Jermaine Durandamy. I said it, Zach, Jermaine Durandamy. Now, Jermaine Durandamy, is she going to fight the monster Cyborg Santos, yes or no?
Not right away, at least.
I don't want her to fight. Listen. If you knew this girl, Jermaine Durandamy, I mean, if she was a friend of yours, or like she was your Facebook pal or anything like that, wouldn't you like Facebook her and tell her stay out of the octagon with that monster?
It seems like it.
Yikes! I mean, would you? If your daughter can fight, would you put her in with Cyborg?
No, that's a bit too much to ask. And Cyborg is actually scheduled to fight Megan Anderson for the featherweight title at UFC 214.
So they've stripped the Durandamy of the belt, huh?
It appears that way.
Man, I don't blame her. I think I would have walked away from the title instead of facing that woman. I saw her in that movie when she was throwing those 250-pound men over the car and those kind of stuff. That was enough for me, okay? And the fact that she sort of does look a little manly, Zach. Let's be honest, the chromosomes might not all be right.
Yeah, there's something suspicious going on.
Speaking of hormones, Amanda Nunes in a battle of hormones against Valentina Shevchenko. This is a rematch where she's a girl that destroyed Ronda Rousey in 40 seconds about 3 or 4 months ago. Now, she's coming back. She's a solid fighter, no doubt about that, the 135-pound world champion. But is she a superstar in the making? And are there any superstars in the making in the world of the UFC? Because between you and I, the UFC is sort of like, I need a little Viagra to watch it once in a while, you know, to get up.
Yeah, the UFC, I think the last couple of years, you know, they were really rising. And then these last couple of years, they haven't put together solid cards. I think they've been spreading themselves thin and trying to make too many cards and not really. They're putting the quantity over quality lately.
Zach, the buyers, the people that just bought this thing from the Fertittas and Dana White and the Dubai government, they own like 13% of the UFC at one point in time. They paid $4,200 million. That's $4.2 billion. $4.2 billion. That's more than the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, more than the New York Yankees, more than the Manchester soccer teams over in the over in Europe. I mean, it's the most expensive franchise in the world. Is it worth $4.2 billion?
I don't think so.
They got took. And here's what's up. I remember Dana White said, yeah, you know, I pissed somebody off about 3 or 4 years ago. We just sold it for $1 billion then. So I guess we made ourselves another. I guess me being a jerk made them an extra $3 billion. This and that. And of course, Dana White owning 10% of that. So if Dana White got if Dana White got 10%, that's a lot of money, man. Why is Dana White even working? Anyway, the bottom line is, I noticed Dana White wasn't at that last card down there in Rio de Janeiro. Looks like they're starting to send the B team out, huh?
It looks like it. They're not sending the A game at this point.
Speaking of the A game, she thinks she's back in the A game. Who am I talking about? Double H, the preacher's daughter.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Mark Goddard has called a stop to this contest at 1 minute, 9 seconds of round number three, declaring the winner by knockout, Holly, the preacher's daughter, Holly.
Just before we interview the winner, ladies and gentlemen, hey! Holly Holm, wow! It was a slow start, a feeling out process, but you found that head kick opening and you knocked her out. How does it feel to get back on a winning track?
Amazing. You know, there's so many things I want to say, but you know, this fight, I know that she could make look messy, and I know we had heard a lot of boos from the first round, but what I wanted to do is make it look as clean as I could. You know, she can make a messy fight. That was the goal. That was the plan, to bait her into something and make a clean shot. And thank God to my coaches. And I just, oh, gosh, there's so many people that have supported me through these three losses. And my team that flies halfway across the world for me and my coaches at home, we're missing a coach here tonight. So, you know, I just, oh, gosh, I send all my love. And I just, my family, everybody, you know, my husband, everybody that's been supporting me through all this time. And I just feel like, you know, I want to do it for them. This fight was for them.
Very good. So what comes next for you now? Do you take some time off? Do you enjoy this win? Or do you get straight back into it and start chasing that gold again?
You know what? I'm going to enjoy this night right now and enjoy the victory tonight. It's been a year and a half since I've been able to do a backflip in here. And I was glad to do it in Singapore. Oh, my gosh, what a beautiful place. I feel at home, even though I'm on the other side of the world. It's been a great place to have a fight. And I just feel so blessed. That's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise. Your main event winner, Holly, the preacher's daughter, home!
She got it done, of course. A 5-1 favorite in the world in mixed martial arts might as well have been a 500-1 favorite. I kid you not, because you never see odds that long. You just don't see it. Of course, I'll talk about Holly Holm now, back in the winner's circle after three losses. I believe she's now 13-3. And, of course, she's going to be matched with somebody at 135. I don't know if she really wants to match skills with Amanda Nunes. What do you think there?
I don't know. I think that would be an interesting fight. I think you would have to favor Amanda Nunes at this point.
She hits hard. She hits like a man. I'm not taking away from her femininity or anything like that, but she hits hard. She's got that stance where she has that long, the leverage. She punches hard, man. If Dominic Cruz could punch that hard, he'd be knocking all the guys dead in his division.
Yeah, she definitely hits hard. I mean, I think she probably pound for pound, she might be the hardest puncher in the, you know, in women's MMA other than Chris Cyborg. She's probably number two.
No doubt about that. This is your WBO Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Don't forget, October 23rd, we leave Miami, Florida. Would you like to be with us on that cruise ship? Go to WBOBoxing.com. That's WBOBoxing.com. And I'll see you October 23rd in Miami, Florida, as we go to Cuba and the Bahamas for the 30th Annual WBO Congress. This is Sports Overnight America. I am the Taco Man.